We got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. Name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus is still alive, like a mighty army. We keep marching onward, battle with the Lord by our side. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. It's all a learning session. Should be I'll present. There we go. I want to sing another song here, and I like to sing it prayerfully. Is God, you're so good. I just want you to sing it prayerfully and picture yourself coming into the throne room again. I've done that a time or two where you just allow the Holy Spirit to take you into the throne room. You go through the curtain that once held us back, and you enter into that presence of the Holy of Holies, where it's God, Almighty God, and that you just walk into His presence and you just speak the truth that God, you're so good. Let's sing it. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. You answer prayer. You answer prayer. You answer prayer. You're so good to God, we love you. And we're thankful that we can be in your presence. And we just thank you that you plan opportunities where we can be together with other believers and we can just open your word. We can allow your presence to soak into our hearts. We can hear your voice, your Holy Spirit telling us the truth. For this morning, God, as we think about being heirs of yours, of you, the awesomeness of that, the beauty, the greatness, the power, the blessing that it is, I pray your truth can just speak to our hearts, that fear can be less, courage can be more, that we can walk in the boldness that you give us through the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told of a farmhand who had worked for a married couple for several years. And as time went on, the couple grew older and older, and they couldn't do as much as they had, and the farm was beginning to look a little shabby. The paint on the barn was peeling, the fences had holes in them, and the slats were loose. The gravel road had potholes in it, shingles on top of the farmhouse were beaten and weathered and needed replacing. But as the farmhand made his way to milk the cows each day, he thought, "What is that to me? It's not my farm." Then one day the farmer and his wife asked him to come for dinner. They told him how much he had meant to them. They told him that they had no children to inherit the farm, so they wanted to give it to him when they died. The next day, the farmhand was walking to the nursing barn. He noticed the paint on the barn. In a few days, he painted the barn and fixed the fence. And in the next few weeks, he was putting a new roof on the farmhouse and putting new gravel on the road. Why did he do that? What made a difference in his attitude? He was heir. I don't know if any of you had ever been promised something like that. Maybe you that are older. My dad passed away, and we as children went through the will and different things like that, where you were promised something. A lot of times it's parents passing that down to the family, to the children. Maybe a reward, an inheritance, or a gifting. Maybe a blessing from the former generation or people in your life. Usually, like I said, it's given by a loving parent simply because you're their child. In that story there, it's the farmhand. He was the only one that this couple had that knew him, and they passed it on to him. It made a difference in his life because he knew that he was an heir. He was rewarded something from somebody that loved him and that cared about him. Does that well up appreciation or thankfulness to them for their thoughtfulness, their blessing from them in your life? Does that do something into your life if that was ever your experience? Maybe they had it in your experience, they had a guarantee that was written up. It was written in their will. It was a legal paper or a letter written with all the details of how it would unfold, maybe by a certain age or certain accomplishments achieved, etc. And with much thankfulness, it's received. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians 1:14. I'm going to read it out of the NLT, but I believe it's the key verse for the message today. We are heirs. We're heirs of something. I hope it can come out well this morning. It was a week of a lot of struggle with it. I was thinking for a while maybe of doing a book study of Galatians, and as I was processing it and looking at different outlines of Galatians, I came across Galatians, and we'll read it shortly, Galatians 3 and Galatians 4, and it talks about being heirs, and I was just really intrigued on this thought of being heirs, and what does that look like in our lives, and what, who are we heirs with, and what are the results? And I spent time on that, and as I'm thinking back this morning, as we had a study on fear, I wonder if fear was a big thing in my life. There was a lot of anxiety and wondering, because when I would go into reading or trying to form an outline, my mind would just jumble. It would just, I felt like I had to consume everything at once until I can quickly get this laid out. And so but as I resign and I say, God, it's yours. You know what? It's your message. It's your sheep. It's your time. You have always been faithful. It could slowly just start forming. And it's a blessing because we think about heirs and it's like, oh wow, you know, look at what we have. And it's not so much that. Yes, we want to recognize what God has for us, but we want to recognize it in a setting, in a way that, wow, God, thank you. Thank you. We are so undeserving of this. But it's so beautiful, it's so perfect, it's so awesome. That all we can say is thank you. And that we just want to give back what we have been given. We are heirs. And Ephesians 1:14, it says, the Spirit of God guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. And as I thought about being heirs, I'm like, why do we study, why do we look into this? What's the purpose of thinking about what we're heirs of? It's so we can give back praise and glory to God. We are so undeserving. But yet He said, I purchased you. And that's what I love sometimes about some of these other versions. They put it in a language I can wrap myself around. It says, God gave us this guarantee by giving us His Spirit. And that guarantee is saying, I will give you an inheritance. He said, I promised that because I purchased you to be my own people. And we'll look at that adoption. He said, we did this, so I did this all so you can now give back to me praise and glory. Wow. God, well, maybe that won't work. God longs for us to know we're His heirs. And He has an inheritance so we will give Him praise and glory. That's why God does what He does in our lives. That's why He does the things He does in our lives, so that we can give back to Him. So we can honor Him, so we can lift Him on high, so other people can see what an awesome God. Glory is really about making something look good. So when we give honor and glory to God, we're making God look awesome. And that's what He wants from our lives. He gives us that guarantee by giving us the Holy Spirit. So let's turn now to Galatians 4, 1 through 7. And these verses just pick out how we're His sons and daughters, and how the Jews had to wait until Jesus came. And then how also we, as young people, we wait until we come to the age of accountability. But then He makes us His sons and daughters. We become heirs. Galatians 4, 1 through 7, or 1 through, yeah, 7 says this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differing nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now that's talking about how Paul is saying that we as Jews, we were just like children. Me growing up, I didn't have anything necessarily that my dad owned. But as I came to age, and then as things progress, and obviously in my situation, my dad passed away, then that will said that there are certain things that we can receive. And this is what is saying here also in the Jews' lives. They said before Jesus came, we were just like, we didn't have anything. Yes, we were God's children, but we didn't have anything. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if son, then an heir of God through Christ. And that's just giving a process of what took place. we are growing up, we know that there is a reward for us. We know that we are an heir of something. But until God calls us to be His sons and His daughters, we know that, but it's not ours until we step into that sonship. And He says, you are no longer just a servant. You are my son. You are my daughter. And because of that, there is something for you. Becoming an heir is not through the law, but it's through faith. And Galatians 3, 26, if you want to turn there, I'd like to read that together. Becoming an heir comes through faith, not by the law. And Galatians is big on this, talking about the law and by faith and living by the Holy Spirit and not by the law, and how we are redeemed. We come right before God because of our relationship with Jesus. It's not by law, and I put on their performance. And law is about performance. And the children of Israel, as we talked about this morning, they tried and they tried and they did all the ceremonies, they did all the things, but yet they could not become right before God. But we, this morning, and since the time of Jesus, we can now enter into that relationship where we are sons through faith. We are daughters through faith. Galatians 3:26. Let's stand together and read verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All right, you can be seated. What are we? Are we slaves or are we sons? Do we need to be a Jew? Do we need to go through the ceremonies? Do we need this law to make us right with Christ? Who are you this morning? How do you view yourself this morning? What do you believe about yourself? And what Christ has told you. Step down here because I just want you to, I want to be able to be on the same level. I have to ask myself that. But you need to ask yourself, are you a son and a daughter of Christ? Or are we living out of performance? By faith, we come into agreement with God. We are saying He is right, and His ways are right. And this gives Him permission to change our identity. I fear too often because I find myself in that same place so often where I hope so, I think so. If I can get this right, if I can get this down pat, or if I can just be this and this and this, and maybe I can be. And God is saying through His Spirit into your spirit, and we'll read that shortly, where His Spirit speaks to our spirit and saying, you are my child. Because through faith, you believe in who I am and that my ways are right. And I have changed your identity. And because I changed your identity, as Galatians 3:26 says, you are heir to that same promise that He promised Abraham. Abraham didn't see Jesus. But that promise was good to him because he believed. And then when the time came, that promise was applied to Abraham. And when we come to that age where God calls us to be His child, or whatever age that may be, and you agree with that through faith, that promise is applied to you, and you become an heir of everything God owns. Becoming an heir and joint heir is through connection. Spirit activity happens. Connection takes place. A message is sent from the Holy Spirit to our spirit. It changes. Change happens. There is an exchange that happens in the kingdom realm, in the heavenlies. There is an exchange that happens when we, through connection, we are connect through faith, are connected to Jesus, to God, and then we are joint heirs with Jesus. I want to next look up Romans 8, 14 through 17. There is an exchange that happens. We step from slave to sonship. We step from bondage to fear and law and performance to freedom as an heir of God. We do not need to work, earn, perform for acceptance, but freely receive because we are the child of God and a brother with Jesus. Romans 8, 14 through 17 talks about this, how we are heir of God, but not only stopping there, we are also a deeper connection, a joint heir with Jesus. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." Here again, this word Abba, Daddy, that close personal child to their father, the child to their dad, saying, "Daddy, Father." The Spirit itself. Now here's that verse 16, as I said, to how Spirit, God's Spirit sends a message to our spirit. Verse 16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Verse 17, "If you are a child, then you're an heir, heir of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." That passage is loaded. Do you this morning, can I this morning, because I for a while, I struggled with this so bad getting this message together. I finally said, "God, do I even know this? Do I?" Because I am struggling to put this into a format. God, maybe this is all just head knowledge. I mean, I had my Bible open to different markers, and I kept flipping back and forth and back and forth because I could not formulate. I said, "God, do I know this in my own heart?" Because we can go through this, and maybe some of you are here this morning saying, "Yeah, okay, that's great. I read this 100 times. I maybe even learned it by memory." I don't know what you're thinking, but do we grasp the meaning of this, the depth of this? Can we somehow, maybe a little bit partially wrap our minds around a thought of who God is and what He has? And because He has that, we're heir to that. And not only that, what all the promises that have been given to Jesus, we're joint heirs with Jesus. And so that means those promises are for us also. Maybe this is some of my just venting coming out. I don't know. I hope you can take that right. So this message of God's Spirit speaking personally to our spirit, saying you're an heir of God, also sends out another message, which I was voicing here, was you're a joint heir with Jesus. You're Jesus' brother. Because through faith. This means that we are welcomed into God's family as Jesus is welcomed. That message that came down from heaven to Jesus saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," can be a same message that we can hear from our Father God saying, "You are my Son, you are my daughter, I am well pleased with you." Ephesians 1, verse 6. If you want to turn there. We are accepted in the beloved as Jesus is. We are co-heirs. Ephesians 1, verse 6. You might as well keep it there at Ephesians because I'm going to be going back there and looking at what were the heirs that we are blessed. We receive spiritual blessings. But Ephesians 1, verse 6 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." We are accepted in the beloved. Not He's saying, "Well, you're accepted, but you know, you just stay out there. You can be in heaven, but you just stay. I'll keep this surrounded where you can only get so close." No, He says, "You are beloved. You are right with me as Jesus is with me, because you have accepted me by faith." So what belongs to Jesus? Look up Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hebrews 1, verse 2. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." Jesus was right there at the beginning of time, right with God. But God is saying, "Because you are my Son, Jesus, I am making you an heir of all things." And if we are joint heirs with Jesus, what does that mean for us this morning? We are heir of all things with Jesus. Just a couple things here. John 17, 21. I won't look at it. But we receive oneness with the Father as Jesus is one with the Father. It was a prayer that Jesus was praying to His Father. He said, Make all these disciples that follow me, make all the people that believe in me one with you, just as you and I are one. We can be one with the Father, just as Jesus is. Another one, John 17, 22, same prayer. It says, "We receive glory as Jesus receives glory from the Father." He said, "Glorify my people." He said, "Just as you glorify me, glorify my people. Glorify them." Another one, John 17, verse 23, and then verse 26 says, "We receive love from the Father as much as Jesus received it." In that same prayer, Jesus says, "May they experience your love just as I experienced your love." Just allow them to experience your love. John 17, 23 and 26 talks about that. Church family, this morning, I'm going through all this because I want us to realize that we lack nothing. I struggle. I fail. I want to be who all God wants me to be. And I need to hear this morning, that we are heir and joint heirs with Jesus. And we lack nothing. Lack nothing. We are one. We can experience that oneness. We can receive the glory. We can experience the love, the Father's love. Maybe you haven't experienced your own earthly Father's love this morning. I don't know. And that makes it hard to know what the Heavenly Father's love is like. But He wants to anoint your heart with anointing oil so you can experience the Father God's love this morning. To be able to walk in confidence in the Christian's experience, we need to know the Father's love. We need to know what that is like to be connected, one with Him. We need to know what it's like to receive that abundance of His glory on our lives, where we can experience Him personally, His holiness, His beauty. Heirs of what? Since we are heirs and co-heirs, what are we heirs of? What does this mean? Why are we even spending time on this morning? Because what you believe about yourself and about God will be how you do life. Think about that. What you believe about yourself and about God is how you're going to do life. We talked about this morning. Do we so often put a cap on what God can do? Dakota said it in his devotion. Do we think that God's hand is too short to be able to step into the situation we're called into? Do you think that, you know what, I'm just a sinner saved by grace and boy, I hope I can make it? Do you believe that about yourself? Or do you believe that you have all the resources at your hands in your own heart and life? Because the very life of God is in you. The very life, not just a portion of it, not just a attach on saying, okay, God says, I'm out here, I'm walking right beside you, and I will help you all I can. No, he says, I put my life inside of you. You are filled and compassed with who I am. Because through faith, what do you believe about yourself and about God this morning will be how you do life. What God has promised we're heirs of changes everything. Now we want to look some more here at Ephesians 1. We're heirs of spiritual blessings. And I know we have gone through probably Ephesians numerous times in our lives, and I believe there's messages brought here in Ephesians. And I was kind of struggling with that because I'm like, well, I think that was talked about before. But you know what? We're thinking about heirs and co-heirs this morning. And because of that, we have spiritual blessings that we can receive and that we can believe on and that we can hold personally in our lives and saying, this is truth and this is what I want to have applied to my life. Spiritual blessings. And the NLT says in Ephesians 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, because we are united with Christ. Because we are co-heirs with Jesus, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Because you are right there. Yes, you are here physically in your body, but your spirit, because through faith, is in the heavenlies with God. And he is protecting that. And he cares about that. Because it's there, he is pouring every spiritual blessing that you need in your life. So what are they? What are these spiritual blessings? Let's look down through Ephesians chapter 1. I don't think I'll read it because time is really slipping away really fast. And I don't want to hold us up too long. But in verse 4, it says that we are loved and chosen even before the world began. Personally, by our Father God. Think about this. Before anybody even knew about a Bentley, before anybody even knew about you young ladies, I won't start trying to say names, before anybody knew anything about you, before this world was even in existence, when there was still just a vast darkness, God says, I know Rachel. I know Dakota. I just know every one of you. I mean, and then think about the vast number of people out there. And he said, I loved you and I chosen you. He said, I made everything possible for you to be my child and to be an heir of what I have. Because I chose you, because I want you. And that verse goes on further. In verse 4 says, I want you to be holy and without blame. And I made everything possible through my choosing you, through Jesus, through my love for you, to be holy and without blame. Without fault in God's eyes. Man, how often do we attach that fault to our own personal lives? We keep attaching that fault. And we keep carrying that list around. And we keep just looking back on it. And we keep gurgitating on it, processing it. And yes, we need to if it's hindering our lives. We need to deal with it. But then when it's dealt with, it can just become a place of just freedom, saying it's dealt with. And I find no, God looks at me with no fault. And it becomes a part of our journey where we can then help others. We can then talk about it in a redemptive form. We can then talk about it in an awesome, redeeming way. Because we have no fault in God's eyes. Especially for you as young people, and I talk to all of us this morning, but you as young people, I know that struggle. There have been times in my life where I actually believed and said, you know what, I need to ask God for forgiveness time and time again on this one certain thing, because I have failed in it so much that God needs to know that I am really sorry about it this time. And man, I just kept gurgitating on that. And people said, no, you are forgiven. And so young people, hold on to this verse right here, verse 4, where he said, I loved you and chose you before the foundation of the world, so you are blameless and without fault in my eyes, through faith. Man, I am going way too much talking here, I guess. He planned out the blessing of our, and so the next one is, in the next verse, verse 5. He says, we planned out our adoption, the adoption ceremony. He planned that out so we can make us his sons and daughters, taking away that abuse, taking us away from that abusive family of the enemy's camp. God wanted to do this in verse 5, and it pleased him greatly to do this. It wasn't begrudgingly. I love that. He said, I was pleased to do this. I wanted to do this. I wanted you to come into my family. I didn't just say, oh, okay, I guess because they are now in this face of this earth and breathing my air, I guess I better at least accept them into my family. No, he said, I want you. I am going to take you right out of that camp. I paid the price for that adoption ceremony. There was, when you accepted that ceremony, there was great party going on in heaven. There was rejoicing going on. I mean, there was celebration happening because you are now adopted into my family. It's okay to be excited about God and about that adoption plan. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. We can rejoice. If they can throw a party in heaven about adoption happening when we come into God's family, why can't we rejoice about that here? And you know what? We just had that here just a few weeks ago, I believe it was, a week or two ago. And there was great rejoicing over you being adopted into God's family. And let's rejoice about that here this morning. Praise the Lord. You're adopted in His family. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyways. As heirs, we are anointed with His glorious grace, which empowers us. Grace is an avenue of power in our lives. When we think about God giving us grace, that empowers us, saying, you know what? We can go again. We can walk in this. And then it says that glorious grace, that grace that is just awesome. In verse 6, it talks about that. I was going to turn to 1 Peter 3:7 and read it in the Amplified Version, but I won't do that because time is slipping away. But there it talks about husband and wives getting along together. I mean, we know that struggle, okay? It happens. I mean, I'm this old man that can get a little bit growly at times. And my wife, you know, she tries to be gracious with me. But, you know, it talks about prayers being hindered, but we're heirs together of that grace. And we need to live with each other with understanding. And so I throw this warning out to us as husbands this morning. How easy are we making it for our wives to receive that heirship, that heir of God? Are we struggling to get along with them and living with them with understanding and love, that we make it hard for them to receive that heir? Because we give them that bad picture, that not so nice picture of who Father God is and what He has for us. And then we don't get along with our wives, and they say, really, is that true? Can I really be an heir also of God? So I throw that out to us as husbands this morning, us as husbands. You know, let's live together with understanding so we do not hinder them grasping their heirship of Father God. Okay, let's go on. Another spiritual blessing we are heirs of is in verse 8. He showers us, and I like this, He showers us with his kindness. Look at verse 8. It says showers. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us with all wisdom. Okay, in another version, I believe it uses the word showers us with wisdom and understanding. I just mean God is a God of abundance. I mean, he gives us so much awesomeness. He showers us with his kindness, with all wisdom and understanding that we need. God, we are heirs of this blessing that he gives us. And think about all the streams that are out there rushing down through these valleys, and they're full because of the rains that came. And think about our thought processes, where God wants to shower us with wisdom and understanding, so the streams of our thought processes are full and overflowing. And we can understand, and we have that wisdom. That's the picture that came to my mind. Our thought processes are like streams and rivers out there. And when God showers us, it just fills them up to full, where we can process healthy ways. And we can have that wisdom and that understanding. Let's go on to verse 9. God reveals his mystery, his mysterious will about Christ, how that we are all one with him. And I tried to understand what maybe this was, verse 9 and 10 was talking about here. But I seen it, okay, when Jesus originally came the first time, his mysterious will was, you know what, it's not going to be only the Jews anymore. It's going to be the Jews and the Gentiles. And they were all one. But then I believe also it's talking about here that in the end times, where Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll be all one. Those of us that have receiving his heirship, that we are all one, and he is our King, and we are right with him there in that kingdom. And it's no more this levels. And yeah, that could go on to a whole other subject also. But we are one, and he is our King. In verse 18. I was going to read Hebrews 6, 17 through 19, and time just keeps slipping away. But it says that he wants to flood our hearts with light. Verse 18 talks about being enlightened. He wants to flood our hearts with light so that we can have understanding of this lively hope. And I believe Hebrews 6, 17 through 19 is talking about, I know what it's talking about, and that's why I wanted to read it in the NLT. And it's talking about how God made a promise, but he also made an oath. Both of those things about God is unmoving. And because what God has promised to us, it was promised with a promise of his word, and also he promised it by himself because there was nobody greater than him. So those things are unmovable. And because those things are unmovable, we have this lively, living hope that he will come through for us. And that we will be heirs, that we will have an inheritance now, but also in eternity. That's what Hebrews 6 is talking about there. God says that he is light, and in him is no darkness, nor even a shadow of turning. James 1:17 talks about that. So we have that heir, that God is always with us, and he will fulfill his promises. Now, another thing that we're heir of is an heir of an inheritance. Now, I'm just going to go through this briefly. I don't know if I have grasped what it means when it says we are heir of an inheritance. I believe that it's talking about things that can be present here also in this earth living, but it's also talking about eternity where there is an inheritance for us who follow faithfully after Jesus, after our Father God. We're heir of an inheritance. I believe it's important. Is portioned now, but will fully be received eternally. As heirs, we receive the kingdom, and we have his authority in his name. And I want that to be very important to us. As heirs, we receive the kingdom, and we have authority in his name. As heirs of the kingdom, we are called to be stewards of the kingdom. So what are we doing about that? But I want to step back, just think briefly here, that we have authority. Sometimes we think that we know that we are human. But because of the life of God in us, we have authority in the name of Jesus. And we have the right to stand up in the name of Jesus and to do war against the enemy. We have the right to stand up in our place where we're at, saying, in the name of Jesus, you, Satan, have no right or authority or place or responsibility in my life. And I wonder sometimes, do we grasp that? We sometimes wilt too quickly and say, oh, I can't handle this. Oh, look at that, what's coming my way. Oh, I just don't think this is, and then we give up. We give in and we fail again. And I understand that cycle. But that cycle can be broken. And through the power and the authority of the name of Jesus and his shed blood on Calvary that can be applied to our hearts, we can stand up and say, I'm dead to that. The blood of Jesus is in my life, and you, Satan, need to go to a dry place in the name of Jesus. Just briefly. That's part of our inheritance as we live in this kingdom of God. His very life is in us, and by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have access to. We are commissioned to go out and bring people to Jesus to be changed. As heir of the kingdom, we are called to be stewards. We are called to be stewards of his kingdom. Think about that. We want to be stewards of earthly things, don't we? We want to be stewards of our money. We want to be stewards of our business. But God has called us also to be stewards of the spiritual kingdom that he places in us. You and I this morning are the kingdom of heaven. We are part of God's kingdom because his life is in us. And he wants us to steward that well. He wants us to be able to walk in that confidence that, you know what? What has God given me? And some of that comes out of Matthew 25, 15 through 28. And another gospel talks about it in Luke 19, 13 through 27. Those things, those chapters, those books are talking about how God is giving to his followers talents. And you may apply that different ways. But I apply that as giftings, as skills, as a heritage of our past raising, where he says, I want you to take this and I want you to use this in my kingdom and be a steward of that. Or are we going to go and build on that, whether it's 3 talents or whether it's 5 talents, or even if it's 1, let's not be like that unfaithful servant who went and hid that 1 talent. You may only have 1 talent, but make it 2, then make it 4, then make it 8. Double it every time. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. As we receive a portion of that inheritance now, that giftings, that skills, that family traits, that material blessing, etc. Even your material blessing, if you're in a business this morning, God gave you that to build his kingdom. Are you going to be a wise steward of that? We see in those verses I talked about in Matthew and in Luke that there was a portion of inheritance that was given, not equal amount to all. Another thing was that they were called to invest it, to build on it, to be a steward of it. Then at the end, rewarded for the job done with their inheritance. What are you and I doing this morning with the portion of inheritance that he has given to you and I? This subject is huge, and maybe I'll do more study on it and maybe bring another message. I don't know. But we need to be a steward of the portion of inheritance that he gave us. So a question I ask for you and I today, what have you been handed? And what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what has been handed to you? Maybe it's from your parents. You know your history. Just don't even think about the negative things. What are some good, healthy traits that you've been handed because of your heritage, because of how you were raised, because of your family line? What was it? Maybe it was work ethic. Maybe it was reading. Maybe it was being able just to process well. Maybe it was being able to decipher very clearly and quickly things. Maybe it was just how to love the unlovable. I don't know, but think about that. How does God want to take that one good thing that you have been handed, and He wants to build His kingdom with that? It's a portion of your inheritance. Are we building the kingdom with a portion of the inheritance we have been given? Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Someone once said, "The inheritance is not only given to us, but needs to be built up by us." And let me read that again. This inheritance is not only given to us, but needs to be built up by us. Another thing is I came across was, then we hand it to our children. I'm sorry, that all goes together. Let me start back over. This inheritance is not only given to us, but needs to be built up by us, then handed it to our children, improved. Sometimes we think too local, too close. As long as I can get through this life, how about can we build up what we've been given and make it improved and hand it to our children? Another thing is, it must not be despised. One of the keys, one of the currencies of the kingdom of God is honor. One of the currencies of the kingdom of God is honor. And sometimes we dishonor. We just want to bash and trash everything that we've been handed. Maybe God wants to take that. Honor it. Honor the good things. Deal with the not so good things. Improve and build on it. Hand it to our children saying, this is what God has taught me. This is what God has given me. It might only be one talent, but I want to give it to you as two talents. NLT Hebrews 6:12 says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promise because of their faith and endurance. God wants us to follow on. He wants us to build and take the part of the inheritance He gives us and build on that. In closing, God did not bless us with spiritual blessings to just keep for ourselves, but to use it to work with the inheritance He gives us, to be counted worthy of, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here is your full inheritance. God bless you all. I love seeing in this community, this group right here, that hunger and that passion to be all that God wants you to be. I see zeal and zest. I see purpose, and I see intentionality in this group right here. And I bless that in your lives. Take it. Even if it's only one, make it two. And go where God wants you to go with it. So that when it's all said and done, well done, Cornerstone Chapel. God bless you all.